We're doing Sefer Amidot. We're up to page Reish Ayin Gimel, Perek Revi, the fourth chapter. We spent a good 20 minutes yesterday just introducing this. The idea of Bitachon and what gets in the way, and the idea that Hashem works through nature, and so we have a hard time seeing Him and a hard time having faith in Him. And he continues and says, Hasiba Shenit Le'eder HaBitachon, the second cause for faith being scarce, Yan Kena Bitachon Tivi B'matei HaNefesh, because it's unnatural. We could end right here. I was talking to a psychologist this morning, and he spent 5 minutes explaining a whole theory to me. When he finished, I said, this book covers that in depth. So he said, what do you mean? And I told him the two chapters that the Magen Midovna describes, that whole theory. And he was blown away. This is, I think, the most brilliant book I ever read. So, he says, it's not natural to have faith. What do you mean? אבל האדם בבחירתו הטובה יוכל לנטוע אותו על תלמי לבבו. But if a person chooses to, he could plant that into his heart. Wow. I don't know if we should continue. I think we just have to digest that sentence. I don't know. We'll pause here. Just think about that. Okay, you want to continue? We'll continue. He said, why is it difficult to have bitachon? Why is it difficult to have faith? Because it's unnatural. It does not come naturally to have faith in God, but a person can choose to plant that into his heart. But it's not natural.
Well, I got a question.
I got many.
Can I express my question?
I'm listening, yeah.
I understand and relate that it's unnatural to have faith. But if you say that, and
true, like one can
choose
to have faith. One chooses what he puts his faith into. So
then
again, maybe it is natural to have faith.
Like,
okay. Now,
not confusing myself, but...
You got to think. He's definitely a thinker. Wow. Right. And he, in his wisdom, he saw fit to create man to whom faith would not be a part of his nature. Ki chetzo yitbarach haya al gemar ha-shefa ligmor to ulashlimo lidei bnei adam ha-osim befoal yedeihim. Ki hu sof maaseh ha-shefa. Okay, how do you translate that? There is the abundance that comes from the omnipotent, but he wants that we will have an active role in it, and that it doesn't come easy, the abundance from above. And if we're going to start this thought, we have to finish it, which is going to take us to the next page. So, Yaakov, if it's short, I'm with you.
It's short. If it's not natural to have faith, then by definition, is it natural to have faith in oneself, or is it natural to have no faith whatsoever? If you say it's not natural to have faith in God, then human history has shown that
Really?
No, but it's like choice. Like even
why do you have to believe something?
Even being indecisive is a choice.
You don't believe that your leg's gonna move when you want to move it. You don't believe that you have some effect in the world. You don't believe that meaningful. You don't believe you can't function in the world.
Yeah, if you call that, you're calling that belief. Okay, fine.
You're saying more philosophically?
I thought you meant philosophically. I didn't follow what you were saying. Okay. Okay. So I didn't say anything. Right. Okay. Your question was left hanging. Let's see if, as we continue through the next few sessions, if we still have that question. I think if we bear the question in mind, we'll see the answer within the context. Okay, so there is the abundance that comes from above. And this abundance he divided into different types of call it abundance that comes from above. There's the things that Hashem gives us that without them we wouldn't be able to live. The capacity to breathe, the capacity to eat, the capacity to drink. And then there are things that you could live, but there are amenities. And then there are things that you really don't need at all, but they're out there for you. So when he says abundance, what he means is the impact from above. So Hashem, on the one hand, he gives us life. He gives us food. On the other hand, he gives us the responsibility to reach the finished product. It's known that Turnus Rufus, the Roman, came to Rabbi Akiva, said, "Who's greater, man or God?" So Rabbi Akiva said, "Man." Not who's greater, but whose actions are more complete, man or God. So Rabbi Akiva said, "Man." He knew where Turnus Rufus was headed. He wanted to tell it. Rabbi Akiva would say God, and then Turnus Rufus would say, "Then why do you mutilate the man that God formed? Why do you circumcise?" Rabbi Akiva understood where he was headed, so he gave the answer before Turnus Rufus asked the question. And then, so Turnus Rufus asked him, "So, okay, why do you say man's actions are more complete?" So Rabbi Akiva said, "Well, go eat some wheat. You're not going to eat wheat, right? Everything God creates is raw material for us to perfect. So our actions are, so to speak, more complete. God creates an imperfect world with giving us the responsibility to perfect it." So, and in that way, he also wanted to answer Tinsh Rav's question. Coming back to the Magen Midovna, so the Magen Midovna says, "Gam ashokle ha-maseh v'emtzeim el ha-shefam rubim v'otvim hape al maseh ha-adam v'chazakim imenu. Kmo ha-shamayim ha-notnim geshem yuchay u-malkosh." Even though when you look at the world, it seems that there are sources of abundance that are much greater than man. We say on the one hand, it's man's responsibility to perfect the world, to do the finishing touches to what comes to the world. But on the other hand, most of the world, look around you, you have a heaven that gives rain, you have clouds, you have an abundance of earth. Most of the world is God's work, not our work, right? So he says, you have the heavens that give rain. Ha'aretz titen shamna. The earth gives its bounty. Ha'bakal choshot. The cattle does its plowing. V'chadumei ma'advim ha'muchachim en shifat ha'chaim. You have all these things that keep life going. Im kol zei karu shlemut ha'avodai min ha'adam. Nonetheless, when you want to reach wholeness, there God says that's your job. Meaning, God creates a world which it's inaccurate to call it an imperfect world. It's an incomplete world. It's a world where Hashem says, you want to see completeness? That's your job. I'm not going to make bread come out of the ground. I'll make wheat. You've got to make it into bread. Without his work, without his toiling, the land's going to be desolate. If the person doesn't plow, if he doesn't deal with his land, so then the land will rot. The trees won't bear fruit. And that's the verse in Genesis, a beautiful interpretation. The verse says, the bushes didn't grow, the grasses of the field didn't grow, because God didn't give rain, and man didn't do work. The verse is describing you have this partnership which produces. God does his end, but we have to do our end. And if you don't have both, then you don't have production. Now going back to the idea he was discussing earlier. If God would have made it that it comes natural to a person to have faith in God, then a person would look at the world and say, I don't want to work hard. People would not have developed the world. אחרי דעתו, כי הסיבות חלושות מלהביא לו תרפו מבלעדי הסכמת החונן העליון יתברך. If we really thought that Hashem controls everything, then we'd be very lazy. What do I do in all this? There's very little that I do. ובהסכמתו הנדיבה ישלח לו באיזה סיבה שתהיה, גם עם הקלה שבקלות. If God wants it to happen, he can make it happen. כי אין על הסיבה חלק ונחלה עם השפע. Because in truth, abundance is not rooted in Hashem's, in our action, אבל היא באה מאת המשפיע ברוב רחמה וחסדיו. Everything comes from him. And the Magen Midovne is now addressing one of the most common pitfalls of religious chozrim b'tshuva today. People will tell you, why do I have to study for a trade? Why do I have to go for an interview? If God wants to make me wealthy, it's going to happen. And if not, then it wouldn't have happened otherwise. God doesn't need my work to make it happen, right? So now, really, even though it's not our subject so much, in this paragraph, the Magen Midovne is addressing that. He says, if bitachon, if real faith in Hashem would be natural to us, then in truth, we wouldn't work almost at all. We would work very little, because we'd say everything comes from him. So let's finish that sentence. So now that bitachon is not really natural to us, so if we are honest people, then we realize that we're not there. Oh, we can be lazy. Sure, we can be lazy. We once asked one of the kids to clean up the toys. So 5 minutes later, they didn't do anything. So we asked them what happened. So they said, I asked God to do it. So we said, and then what happened? So they said, well, I guess God didn't want your toys cleaned up. It's an excuse. It's a game. And people sometimes, when they do tshuva, like playing this game. So it's not my fault that I can't make ends meet, because if God wanted it to happen, it would have happened. Am I really on that level? Oh, there was a person in Bnei Brak that had an eye infection and wouldn't go to the doctor. And it kept getting worse, and he kept saying, if God wants it to get better, it'll get better. He went blind. Didn't get better. Oh, can God make it better? Oh, he could, right. But is he on the level that God should intervene? What was his name? Rav Yitzchak. Aramo wrote a fantastic philosophical work called the Akedas Yitzchak. And on our parsha, on Parshas Noach, he discusses the people who think that God should intervene in nature on their behalf. If God's running the world, then come on, make it work for me. If you look throughout the Talmud, and even throughout the Tanakh, you see that that's not the recurring theme in Talmud or Tanakh. The Talmud tells us there was a man whose wife passed away. He didn't have a wet nurse. He was tremendously pious. So he developed like a woman and he nursed the baby. He didn't have money to hire a wet nurse. He didn't have any way to feed the child. So he was tremendously pious, and he merited to develop like a woman and nurse the baby. So we would say, wow, what does the Talmud say? Why didn't God make a sack of money appear at the corner of his house so he could hire a wet nurse? What does the Talmud say? You see that, so to speak, it was easier in the hands of heaven to make him develop like a woman than to make a miracle and make Parnassa suddenly appear out of thin air. Parnassa involves work. You got to prepare, you got to get a degree, or you got to do whatever else it takes to make ends meet. So today we're in a generation where it's easier. It's not as hard as it was in their days. But the Talmud says, okay, so God took the minimal miracle and said, okay, he's deserving. We'll make him develop and feed the baby. Whatever that means. If you look at the Meiri, I'm not sure that that's to be taken literally, but okay, however that means. Back to the Magen Midovne. So the Magen Midovne says, if Bitachon would come natural, we wouldn't develop the world.
Okay, just go back to your name.
Yeah.
That we're not on the level, so there are people that are on the level.
We'll get there. He's going to get there. Meaning, yesterday we discussed Maimonides' opinion in that. We discussed the big machlokas Nachmanides and Maimonides. That's why we spent 20 minutes of introducing this chapter. And in the next chapter, I think, he will get to this idea of levels of Hashgacha. We also are in the process of discussing that in our Drashot Aran class. We'll get there. ואם כן יאמר, מה לי לדרך מצרים? מה לי לעבוד עבודות לעבור מדינות רחוקות, לרדת בענייה, לעבור אורחות ימים, להכניס עצמי בסכנות גדולות, אם הקדוש ברוך הוא ציווה עליי את הברכה, יטיפני לחם חוקי בביתי ובחומותיי. הלוק המרחוק ולא לוק המקורב. Person is going to say, why should I open a business? Why should I travel out to Egypt to get goods cheaply? Why should I endanger myself? If God wants me to have a blessing, I'll have a blessing. Does he need all this work? And then what would happen is what Maimonides says in his introduction to his commentary on Mishnah, if not for those crazy people, the world would be destroyed. Meaning the Rambam says, who's foolish enough to waste his time plowing and threshing and harvesting? Most of the world, thank God they're around, because otherwise we'd have no food. So they're the crazies, but thanks to them we have a world. That's the Rambam. Yeah. So that's true, but you have to remember that to do whatever you have to do means to try really hard.
Yeah.
When my wife was looking for a job, we sent out over 1,000 resumes. Over 1,000. Every night we'd send out, I don't know, 8, 10. It's true that you say, I do my best, and at the end of the day I don't run the show.
But
I have to do my best. And if you look around, you'll see the only reason certain things exist is because people don't have faith. People go diving, people go searching for gems. Why? People do all kinds of things that require a lot of work. So this is a phenomenal concept, the Magmid Ovner is saying. Hashem left bitachon as something that you have to build. Because if not, if it were inborn, then everyone would sit back and say, I'm not working hard. So what's the Magmid Ovner saying? That someone who built it, someone who really has that level of bitachon can say that. But you got to really be there. One of the big mistakes that people do when they do tshuva? That because they'd like to be somewhere, they imagine that they're already there. Okay, it doesn't work that way. You can see the top of the mountain, that doesn't put you there. You still got a lot of climbing to get there. You know how many people you pass dead on your way up Mount Everest? You could see it. That doesn't mean you're there. A lot of climbing. So the Magmid Ovner says, yes, there is this high level, like Maimonides says, where you say, let me enjoy everyone else's work, but there's no way I'm doing that. But you gotta be fit for that. That's five people in a generation. It's not the average person. Does a person really have that bitachon? Most people don't. So he's saying there's a tremendous benefit to the world that we don't have that bitachon. We go for job interviews. We on our level, we try. We work really hard. But that's what we should do on our level. So we can develop our bitachon, but we can't make believe we have it when we don't. You guys with me? This is, to my mind, this is a phenomenal concept. This is, Ari, you got it? Yeah?
I have a question.
Yes? You can aspire to really connect with that idea of true bitachon, of true understanding that Hashem runs the world. But don't kid yourself into thinking that you're living what you aspire to achieve. There's a difference between understanding a concept as where I should get to and saying I'm there. It's two different things.
Do you first in response to what you just said, and then another question? First, do you ever get there?
Are you good?
And okay, now having said that you couldn't do once you're.
I'm not sure anyone in our generation has.
Theoretically speaking,
yes.
What if you're there? Do you set yourself a goal to aspire for, or like once you're there, and then
I prefer to defer that discussion, but let's just say that the greatest man, Moshe Rabbeinu, still asks Hashem, I want greater clarity. So that means as high up as you're going to get, when Moshe approaches Hashem, what does it say? Where does he go to see Hashem? What does it say? Moshe Migash El Ha'arafel. Moshe is approaching Hashem. What does it say? He's going into the fog. That's how you describe approaching God. Shouldn't it have said he's walking out of the fog? It doesn't say that.
It's the same that upon getting closer to the ultimate truth and as close to God, he becomes even more foggy and more unclear.
I didn't say that. I just said there's always room to grow. If Moshe Rabbeinu is at the height of his prophecy and his request is, Hashem, I want to understand better, so then that obviously tells us that there's always where to go up.
All right, so now regarding...
Notice I didn't explain what Moshe wanted to understand better, but that's for a different time. Yes?
Okay. I don't want to... First let me know if I have this concept straight, because I'm learning a lot of you. Starts by saying that okay, you know, it's difficult for one to have a full emunah because it's unnatural. Like
we said bitachon, not emunah, but okay. We translated bitachon as faith. Okay, maybe trust is a better translation. I have to think about it. I don't know on the moment. It could be. Does anyone remember when we started the chapter? We spent time discussing what the best translation for bitachon is, and I think we did say trust. I think we said trust. Yeah, I think you're right. I think so. Then we thought it through. Now, on the spur of the moment, I think you're right. I think trust is a better word. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
What's the difference between emunah and bitachon?
That deserves a series, not even a class. Sorry.
No, can very briefly, because it's just through Sorry, my I, entire yeah. understanding of this...
I understand. Let's cover quantum physics very briefly, and then we could talk about that.
I don't want to cover emunah briefly.
Right. I have no way of doing that briefly. I'm sorry. The word emunah deserves a series, not a class. Same thing with bitachon. We're learning a whole, how many chapters? 30 chapters, 40 chapters to define bitachon over here. It's not going to go so easy.
But Rabbi, because I thought that it was emunah was what you were saying faith was, and now I hear bitachon. I don't even know what either. I'm not even sure about what either one is.
Were you with us from the beginning of the chapter? From the beginning of the section?
Today?
No.
Today?
No, last semester when we began Shabbat.
But either way. Either way, now I have.
Okay, so let's say trust. Where do I put my trust?
So I
think that in our usage of the word, even though maybe epistemologically the more correct word is trust, I think in our usage of the word faith is what will define what we mean. Even though the more accurate translation is probably trust. But, okay, tomorrow night we can raise it again. We were supposed to learn this for 5 minutes, now we're 25 minutes into it. So let's go over to our parsha.